Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Debt Ceiling Day, America. Deal or no deal? That is the question of the day. And we're going to keep you updated. We're going to keep you updated on any developments that might happen as we wait for the Republicans to figure out if they're going to stick it to the American people. That's pretty much the extent of things at this hour. But a growing number of Republicans are saying they will not support Speaker McCarthy. And I will say this, should this piece of legislation, should the debt ceiling deal pass with the help of Democrats, then I believe Kevin McCarthy needs to be removed as Speaker of the House. And we're going to be taking your calls on this throughout the show today. But if McCarthy shoves this through, and McCarthy says he is confident, should he be removed as Speaker of the House? Our telephone number to weigh in is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I want to start with an item that we posted on our Facebook Live page, because this attack on the culture, this attack on womanhood, this attack on our children, it's just unbelievable. The amount of propaganda that is spewing out of the LGBT organizations, and chief among them, the Human Rights Campaign, which is a radical anti-Christian, anti-heterosexual hate group. And these people are vile, and they are predominantly the ones behind all of this radicalization of our local businesses, from the Targets to the Krogers to PetSmart to, yeah, no PetSmart. Let me, before we get to Major League Baseball, did you hear about what's happening over at PetSmart? So apparently they're trying to turn your dog gay. Now, I always wondered about the metrosexual purse dogs, you know, the little tiny things. I've always kind of wondered about them. But who am I to judge? Anyway, PetSmart is now offering a gay-friendly line of products for your pooches and pussy cats. PetSmart offering pride-themed clothing for pets just ahead of Pride Month. This is coming from the New York Post. Dog bikinis, butterfly cat leashes, and reptile cape costumes in rainbow colors. The next thing you know, they're going to be trying to slap buttless leather chaps on your little kitty. Now, a lot of people are urging the boycotts, and I got to tell you, man, it's hard to keep up with what's being boycotted these days. You got Bud Light, and they're about to go out of business. You got Target, and their stock is down almost 50% from where it was a year ago. It's unbelievable. And then you've got Kohl's, which came out, and they're the latest, and they're offering baby products, little transgender onesies. And now they're going after Major League Baseball. And people are losing their minds over this. So Major League Baseball is doing a big push during Pride Month, and now some of the players are starting to push back. And they're saying, hey, wait a second. You know, this we like everybody, but we don't want to support the LGBT agenda because that goes against our religious beliefs or whatever. It would be like forcing the players to endorse some sort of a political agenda. These guys, they're not political. They just want to play baseball, right? Robbie Starbuck reporting on his Twitter feed that the players' union has now been contacted by players. And they're very concerned about being forced to push a social and political agenda. And they're saying this is now turning into player endorsements. which is exactly what it is. When these players have to walk out onto the field and they've got to wear rainbow patches on their uniforms, or they have to stand there and watch their religious beliefs being denigrated and desecrated by these gay groups and these sex fiends, yeah, that's offensive to a lot of people. And I can understand why these baseball players are really concerned about this. But Major League Baseball is pushing back in a big way, and they're basically telling the players, you will support the gay agenda, and if you don't, you're not going to be playing baseball. I mean, it really is that simple. I want to read, this is from a Dodgers player. His name is Blake Treinen, and I hope I pronounced his name correctly, and if I didn't, Josh just holler at me. But anyway, he plays for the Dodgers, and he is speaking out about what they're being forced to deal with at Dodger Stadium, which, by the way, they're going to be honoring and giving an award to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is an anti-Catholic hate group. And these people basically simulate sex with Jesus on the cross, among other things. Anyway, Blake wrote a letter, public letter. I am disappointed to see the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence being honored as heroes at Dodger Stadium. Many of their performances are blasphemous, and their work only displays hate and mockery of Catholics and the Christian faith. I understand that playing baseball is a privilege and not a right. My convictions in Jesus Christ will always come first. Since I have been with the Dodgers, they have been at the forefront of supporting a wide variety of groups. However, inviting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to perform disenfranchises a large community and promotes hate of Christians and people of faith. This single event alienates the fans and supporters of the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, and professional sports. People like baseball for its entertainment value and competition. The fans do not want propaganda or politics forced on them. The debacle with Bud Light and Target should be a warning to companies and professional sports to stay true to their brand and leave the propaganda and politics off the field. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. You know he's going to trigger somebody now. I believe the word of God is true. And in Galatians 6:7 it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. This group openly mocks Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of my faith. And I want to make it clear that I do not agree with nor support the decision of the Dodgers to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Well, good for you, young man. Good for you, sir. Good for you taking a stand. And the question is, how many others are going to be taking a stand? Now, some players are coming under fire. Toronto Blue Jays star Anthony Bass spoke out against all of this, and he has now been ordered by the Blue Jays to apologize for his beliefs. For what he believes about this, cut number five.
I recognized yesterday I made a post that was hurtful to the Pride community, which includes friends of mine and close family members of mine, and I am truly sorry for that. I just spoke with my teammates and shared with them my actions yesterday. I apologized with them. And as of right now, I'm using the Blue Jays resources to better educate myself, to make better decisions moving forward. The ballpark is for everybody. We include all fans at the ballpark, and we want to welcome everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
The poor guy, it looked like somebody was holding a gun to his head as he was reading the official statement. And again, he was ordered to do this. What did he say that was so offensive? Well, Anthony Bass is a Christian man. In a video, he noted that according to Scripture and from a biblical standpoint, he's of the opinion that Christians should boycott Target and Bud Light. And because he said that, he was threatened. You will either renounce your faith, sir, or you will lose your job. By the way, that's the apology is never good enough. And that's why you should never apologize to these fiends. These are vile, perverted fiends. Do not apologize to them, ladies and gentlemen. And I know it's horrible. It's uncomfortable. Look, I've been there. They will smear you with lies and attacks, but you have to stand your ground. Never apologize. They don't want your apology. They want your head on a platter. These people are like the Muslim jihadist. If you do not convert to their way of thinking, they will behead you or set you on fire. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy you. These are very bad people. Now, look, here on the Todd Starnes radio program, we have a set of beliefs, and we ascribe to those beliefs. If you disagree, guess what? Great. Call us and talk about it on the air. We're not going to try to destroy you. Toronto Star columnist Gregor Chisholm confirmed with his column titled, "The Jays Have to Get Rid of Anthony Bass. How many strikes does it take?" This actually confirms this idea that they want to destroy you. So now you've got the Toronto Star, which is the big newspaper up there, the Red Star, and they're openly calling for Bass to lose his job. Mr. Chisholm writes, "Some right-wingers will label this cancel culture run amok. But this isn't about canceling someone because they're ignorant or homophobic. People get away with that all the time in sports." What a moron. "But it should be about getting rid of an attention seeker causing headaches for his teammates." The guy has an opinion. Is he not allowed to have an opinion? So let me explain what's going on here and why this, I believe, is the biggest story of our day. There is a full-on assault. There is a war being waged in our culture right now, ladies and gentlemen. You have to declare a side. You can no longer stand on the sidelines. You are either going to fight back against this radical alphabet activist mob, or you will be destroyed. I mean, it really is that simple. So you have a choice to make. And Pride Month is coming up. If you think things are crazy right now, and I understand many of you think it's laughable that the LGBT crowd wants to put your gerbil in a pair of buttless leather chaps. I get that. But the reality is, they're coming after you. They're coming after your kids. They're coming after grandma. They're coming after grandpa. They're coming after Major League Baseball. They're coming after your local grocery store. And they're coming after your little pet ferret. They're coming after everybody, America. What are you going to do? Are you going to stand and fight? Or are you going to wave the white flag of surrender? Because hear me on this. Hear me on this. They will not stop until you take a knee and pledge your allegiance to that rainbow flag. That's what this is all about. So the next time you take your kids down to Disney and you're plopping over that money, understand that you are giving Disney the money that they can use to turn around and shove a transgender philosophy down the throat of your child. Folks, we just call it like we see it. By the way, you think I'm blowing smoke on this? Let me give you one other story to think about. From the University of Colorado in Boulder, where we are now being told that if you misgender someone, you are committing an act of violence. So according to the University of Colorado and their Pride office, misgendering someone should be a criminal offense. I want to read to you from their pronoun guide at the University of Colorado, Boulder. "Choosing to ignore or disrespect someone's pronouns is not only an act of oppression, but can also be considered an act of violence. If someone tells you their pronouns, use those. If you don't know someone's pronouns, don't assume gendered pronouns and use gender-neutral ones like they or Z. It is never safe to assume someone's gender. And living a life is where people will naturally assume the correct pronouns for you is a privilege that not everyone experiences." So there you go, folks. You misgender somebody, they want to throw you in jail. You better wake up, America. You better wake up. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar, This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. By the way, breaking news from ESPN. No man parts in that company, I'll tell you that much. ESPN announcing that they will be holding a transgender flag raising today in celebration of Gay Pride Month. So ESPN headquarters, they're going to be flying a Gay Pride. No, it's a rainbow flag. That's different. No, the rainbow flag is the Gay Pride flag. This is the trans pride flag. You know, I just miss the old days when we had one flag. It was called Old Glory, and that seemed to cover everybody. But there you go. It's really sad what's happening. By the way, you might remember one of their folks, Samantha Ponder, coming under fire. She's being called a bigot because she believes that only women should play in women's sports, and that makes her a bad person, apparently. Let's go to the phones here, Justin in Cary, North Carolina. Hey, Justin, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. It's outrageous what's going on over here. There's a Wendy's by me that if you don't come in their door and dress like a drag queen, they won't even serve you food. They kick you out.
What Wendy's is this? What Wendy's is this, Justin?
In Cary, North Carolina, on North Elm Street, you have to be dressed as a drag queen or they kick you out. They won't serve. I just wanted a fries. That was it. And they said, if you're not cross-dressed, you're not allowed to eat here.
Well, first of all, what was the street address again there, Justin?
I don't know the street number, okay. But it's North Elm Street, the Wendy's there.
All right. So
right across the street. It's right across the street from Chipotle.
All right.
I went over to Chipotle because they would serve me food.
All right. Well, Justin, we're going to look into this. And again, if that's the case, then we'll do a story and we'll let you know what we find out. Appreciate that call. Let's go to William in Statesville, North Carolina. Hey, William, what's on your mind?
Morning, Todd. This whole thing with the transgender and the ball game and so forth, so on, nothing but a bunch of horse feathers. That lady caller that called in yesterday and said that God's in control, that's it, in a nutshell right there. Now, they can get away with whatever they want to get away with here on earth. They're going to have to answer to that man upstairs. And it ain't going to stop me from brushing my teeth in the morning, except for him, and while I'll just brush them when I get up to heaven.
Well, there you go. It's really sad, William, but it you know, people are just terrified of this transgender movement. They're terrified of the gay agenda that's being shoved down everybody's throats. We're not afraid. We just call it like we see it here on this program, and we're going to balls and strikes, if you will. Balls and strikes. William, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let me say this about Chick-fil-A. I know a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, Chick-fil-A. Look, Chick-fil-A started the diversity program, 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know why all of a sudden it's become a big deal, but I'll say this about Chick-fil-A. We had an owner of a Chick-fil-A that wanted me to come and do an event, a book signing at their restaurant. Big fan of the show. We were honored to do so, and we were going to do it on our own dime. Do you know that Chick-fil-A headquarters called that owner and said, no, we're not going to let you hold a book signing because that's a conservative political book. We don't want that in our Chick-fil-A restaurant. There you go. That's what Chick-fil-A has turned into, just in case you were wondering. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, there is no Wendy's on Elm Street in Cary, North Carolina. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code STARNES or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNES. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from South Carolina, and he is on the front lines of this battle over the debt ceiling, Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great. Glad to be with you, Todd.
All right. So what's the verdict here? What can we expect later tonight?
Well, the bill's going to pass. There will be probably 100 or more Democrats that vote for it. The no votes, which I'm a part of, will probably range in the 35 to maybe 55 or 60, which is a pretty huge number compared to, you know, typically. Going against leadership is daunting, to say the least, but I'm glad we put the fight up. We didn't win, but we at least put the fight up.
I just don't understand. How did we do this? We were going into this, and I thought the speaker was doing a good job. He was standing his ground. Then in the dark of night, while everybody was on vacation, all of a sudden we're waving the white flag of surrender.
But we really did. We started out with a bill that was mediocre. I mean, it was, I wouldn't even say baby steps. It was tiptoes to financial solvency for America. And, you know, if we had known we were going to water it down, we would have thrown a lot more with it. Now, we may not have gotten the 218 votes, but at least we would know what we were dealing with. But to take this bill and to basically, we lost every part of the bill. It wasn't, you know, I didn't see anything that we got out of it. And bear in mind, we got zero Democrat votes on the initial bill. And Todd, they argued about, I mean, the big sticking points were like work requirements. I mean, 20 hours a week, some of it can be volunteered. We had it in SNAP, TANF, and in Medicaid, and what came out was they ripped out Medicaid. So you can get a government paycheck and not have to do be able-bodied and not have to go to work. And is 20 hours a week too much? The same thing on the 87,000 IRS agents. $80 billion with a B, and they took out $1.5 billion and saying that was enough. Well, why is the $79 billion okay to hire IRS agents to come after Americans whose only qualification is being able to carry a gun? Same thing with tuition payments. I mean, paying college tuition, putting that on the backs of Americans is completely insane. But be that as it is, they're touting $2 trillion in savings over 10 years. I'm so tired of hearing 10-year projections, 5 years. What about now? And I'm so tired of hearing that, well, the Senate won't pass it. Well, I'm not in the Senate. We can only do what we can do. You play the cards that you're dealt. And so I was very disappointed. I wish we had more Republicans that went against it. But, you know, it is what it is.
Congressman Scott Perry, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, tweeting out a little while ago, Democrats have 4 trillion reasons to vote for this horrible debt deal. What's going to happen here to the speaker? Is he still going to have a job in a few weeks?
Well, what he's talking about on the $4 trillion, this president, we had him locked in on 1.5 increase of the debt ceiling, 1.5 trillion that expired March in April, but it had cuts with it. That's the whole purpose of the bill. We weren't giving him a free pass. What Scott Perry's talking about is what ended up. This president has got unlimited ability to raise it whatever he wants through 2025. How much sense does that make? It doesn't. Now, as far as McCarthy's speakership, I mean, this has all happened so quick. You know, we got a call over a holiday, a Memorial Day of all days, to celebrate with families. We got a call that, you know, this is what we were going to do. We had no text of the bill. We couldn't read it. But it's insane. But as far as McCarthy's speakership, you know, I don't know what he's got. Some other things that if he reneges on will put him more in jeopardy. But a lot of people are okay with it. Just let him do what he wants. You know, let him push the things that he wants to push and not push. The next big test will be in appropriations. If he puts the hammer down on the appropriators and not open the bank account to free spending as has been done. We've got more Republicans, more Freedom Caucus members on appropriations now. I'm on Rules Committee, and we came within one vote of killing it in Rules Committee, this bill that we're that's going to pass tonight. But I don't, as far as the future job security, who knows? I mean, you know, you've got to, if you're going to throw him out, who are you going to put in there? Jim Jordan didn't want it. And so, you know, it's more complicated than just throwing him out. We did, the 20 of us stuck real hard to making sure that we didn't have to go through a committee to put him out. If you are, if any business, any venture, if you're not doing your job, you get fired. And so we'll see how it plays out with him. We thank God we've got the ability to do it, though.
Do you feel like McCarthy has screwed the party as a result of this deal he's worked out with Biden?
You know, it's a good question. You know, I don't think he's that stupid. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, naive may be a better word. Negotiation, you know, to get played like I think we did is just insane. Now, and you keep hearing, well, the Senate won't pass it. Well, I mean, I can't have control of the Senate, or, you know, we'll do it tomorrow. Well, that doesn't work now, as I've said. Either he gave up too quickly, either he was scared, he bought into the narrative that the debt ceiling was going to be hit, according to Janet Yellen. She's moved the date. She first said June 1st was going to be D-Day, then she said June 5th.
Yeah.
And so we had sent a letter telling her to back up her numbers. I mean, how'd she come up with that? If I tell you your car is going to blow up, I've got to give you a reason why I think that. She needed to put in writing why she thought we were going to reach the limit. She has all the abilities to move money around. And, you know, Todd, money is coming in from across the country, particularly those states that were hit hardest with COVID. Tax dollars are coming in. So I didn't buy the narrative that the D-Day was today. And I realize it's got to go through the Senate and you got some time. But for us to have, in a perfect world, we should add 2 to 3 more weeks to bear down on the speaker, to this is what we will accept, this is what we will not accept, and do that. That would make sense to the American people.
So let's just say, because Congressman Matt Gaetz say McCarthy's chair could be vacated if he passes the bill with the help of Democrats. Will he need Democrat support to get this through?
Oh, absolutely. He's going to have over 100. He wouldn't. Well, now I think. No, and just Republicans, he couldn't pass it.
Right.
At all. So, yes, he's got to have Democrat votes, and there's a reason they're voting for it. Bear in mind, they got 0 votes on the initial bill that we put up. We passed it with 218, all Republicans. So they weren't supporting it. Larry, their answer to everything is higher taxes, more government, and more spending. I mean, that's their mantra. And that's who we're dealing with up here. And so, yes, he had to have Democrats, and he knew it. He tried to justify it in a 2-hour meeting last night, And it was just words to me. I mean, it's a, this is a, I mean, we're dealing with not fiction here. We're dealing with economic security is national security. And we got to face it. And the runway is short to dealing with it.
Now, Congressman, let me interrupt. I'm sorry for that. But the reporting coming out of that meeting is that he was well received by the caucus, that he received a standing ovation. Is that true? Can you describe the mood in that meeting?
Yes, he did. And Garrett Graves and Patrick McHenry got a standing ovation. I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, you know, you don't make this kind of bad deal. You just don't. Or at least be able to explain it. But he had cases that when people, there were probably 40 of us who got up and spoke and said what we, the reasons we were not supporting it, and basically to try to make him justify it. And I mean, the only thing I came out of it after the meeting thinking he thought he was in a time bomb with the Biden administration telling people that Social Security is going to be cut off and medical benefits for the veterans, and the scare tactic worked. And I think he felt the pressure there. But to give everything away, now he made the argument that it's $2 trillion in cuts. Well, show me. Over 10 years, $2 trillion in cuts in 10 years. I don't buy that. Anybody that buys that, I've got some land that's underwater for high-rise condos, and it makes no sense. So, but no, he got a standing ovation.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We will see how the vote goes tonight, and very disappointing that the speaker did what he did.
Well, same here, but we live to fight another day.
All right. There you go. Congressman Ralph Norman, everybody, from South Carolina. Here's Congressman Matt Gaetz saying, here's what needs to happen, cut number six.
What will the Freedom Caucus do if the people who are objecting to this bill get overridden, if the Republicans get overridden by a Republican speaker teaming up with Democrats to pass this bill?
Again, I think the operative question there is whether or not the speaker can get to a majority of the majority. If a majority of Republicans are against a piece of legislation and you use Democrats to pass it, that would immediately be a black letter violation of the deal we had with McCarthy to allow his ascent to the speakership, and it would likely trigger an immediate motion to vacate. I think Speaker McCarthy knows that. That's why he's working hard to make sure that he gets, you know, 120, 150, 160 votes.
Are you picking up a defeatist spirit among the Freedom Caucus crowd? I mean, it seems to me they were very clear early on that you will do the bidding of the American people or we will remove you from your speakership. And they certainly have the votes to do that. And the idea of, okay, if it's not going to be McCarthy, who's it going to be? I would take any member of the House Freedom Caucus right now, anyone would do a fine job. I would take Jim Banks from the Republican Study Committee, which is the largest of the conservative caucuses, cauci, if you will. So the question as we go to break here, ladies and gentlemen, should Kevin McCarthy be removed from the speakership if this horrible, horrible deal passes the House? And I will say this, you heard Ralph Norman say it, that it looks like that Kevin McCarthy, he got scared. He bought into the fear tactics. That in and of itself tells me that McCarthy is in over his skis. All right, 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Let's see, you've applied for our open position for account representative?
Yeah, that's the one.
Great. I see you went to UC Berkeley.
It was really awesome. We had several sit-ins to protest oppressive capitalism.
Oh, and how about your skills for this position?
Oh, yes. I know all about how to spot microaggressions and root out privilege.
We don't really do that here. We do accounting and finance consulting.
Do you have any safe spaces?
Safe spaces?
Yes, where people can go to get away from the colonialist mentality. As long as there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion policy, we'll be fine.
Life's too short to waste your time on bad hires. I'm Andrew Krapschutz, the CEO and founder of RedBalloon.Work. Every week, tens of thousands of reliable, career-minded job seekers visit RedBalloon.Work without all that woke nonsense. Post your open jobs at RedBalloon.Work. And if you put in promo code SALEM, you'll receive 10% off your first month's job postings.
Well, let's get to the phones here. Let's go to Louisiana. Michael on the line. Hi, Michael. What's going on?
Good morning, Todd. Man, I'm just sick of my stomach over this crap. I don't know, man. McCarthy's not scared. I mean, it's the same old play they use every time. We're going to, you know, shut the government down. They're going to hurt the veterans. They're going to hurt Social Security. That's all bull butter, and everybody knows it's bull butter. Anybody with common sense could redline this budget and make it work out. It's not that hard. A 10th grade accounting student could redline the budget and go through it and straighten it out.
Michael,
we have no representation whatsoever.
No.
American people are on our own.
We are completely on our own, and it really troubled me to hear Congressman Norman sound so defeatist. I mean, he's the House Freedom Caucus guy, for crying out loud. Why is it so difficult for people to do the difficult thing? This is, look, and it's not all that difficult. Like you said, just take the red pen and start marking through. And we can start with a couple of things. NPR, you're gone. PBS, see you later. You're on your own. Ecuadorian drag queens, yep, you're going to have to work on tips. That's it. I mean, it really is that simple, Michael.
I heard some guys on the late night show the other night talking about that if you cut out all foreign aid and all the stuff that we consider to be poor, it still would not balance the budget. I disagree. They were saying people think that are stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. I disagree. Yeah. There's too much money being thrown away.
Oh, it's you're not kidding. I'm reading a story out. Where is that? I will find out the state. But in essence, they're using the COVID relief money to fund drag queens for the local school system. That's our federal tax money at work. Right?
It is. You know, and I've worked myself near in the early grave trying to pay my taxes and make a living and do something good for myself. And then now, we're going to lose it all here in our golden years.
There you go. Michael, you're right. Here's what you need to do. And I know Congressman Clay Higgins down there, he's a no vote. But every person listening to this radio program, you need to be picking up your phone and you need to be calling Capitol Hill and let your elected leaders know exactly what you want them to do tonight. They need to hear from all of us. We've got to light up the phones. Michael, appreciate that call. Let's go to Mark in the Villages. Mark, what's on your mind?
Oh, boy, I'm going to trigger you with this one. I walked into the mall with my girlfriend this weekend. We went into Victoria's Secrets and Express, and we go in there, and she saw this, what she thought was a woman, walk up to her, trying to give her advice on what she looks good in and everything. And I said, that's not a woman. I said, that's a guy. He had a short mini skirt on. The legs coming out looked like two white straws into these high heels.
Oh, Lord.
He trying to walk looked like he was a person that just got his training wheels taken off a bicycle. And sitting there listening to this guy trying to give her advice, boy, I'm telling you, she said she felt uncomfortable. It was like the craziest thing I ever seen. I don't need a junk swinging fruit loop telling my girlfriend what looks good, what she looks good in and doesn't look good in. It's just they're doing it in the stores now, and walking into Victoria's Secret now, it's like walking into a Jenny Craig. It's nothing like it used to be. It's totally, totally transformed into a whole different area. And my girlfriend said she didn't even feel comfortable going in there. I just, like I said, Todd, how many of these transgenders aren't really transgenders? They're perverts, some of them. Slap a dress on and heels and now are going to be able to teach our kids and work in various department stores like that. I mean, they've gone overboard with this. But boy, I'll tell you, when I saw this, he was the most God ugly person I've ever seen. My girlfriend goes, she's not good looking. I said, it's because it's a guy. You know, I mean, it's gotten bad.
He's a man, man. I mean,
he's a man. I'm like, yeah, I, as I said, don't, you know, I was ready to say, don't tell my girlfriend what she looks good in. You know, and now they're allowed to, they can measure your breast sizes when you go in there. I mean, how can you, you know what I'm saying?
I'm shocked. It's appalling. This is disgusting.
It's appalling. Yeah. I mean, how many kids are going to go, you know, there's teenagers that go in there and they shop in there. I mean, the posters now, they've got 300-pound people hanging up in lingerie all over. Like I said, it's walking into a Jenny Craig's now. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of these guys need to start going in there with their girlfriend because you don't know who the heck's in there and what they, you know, you can get somebody stalking you. You don't know what they're up to.
All right.
You can get people in there that don't even like.
Mark, we're up against the top of the news break here, Mark, or we'd keep going. My condolences to you, but yeah, Victoria's Secrets. Wow. Victoria's got a secret, and you don't want to know what it is, folks. I'm telling you. Oh, by the way, Pennsylvania, the Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, they got $16,000 of your tax dollars. COVID cash is what they call it.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, I have a question for you. This is a bit awkward. Is President Trump being a jerk? No, I'm serious. It's a serious question. Is President Trump being a jerk? Now, the reason I ask this question is he is coming under attack because of something he said about Kayleigh McEnany, who was the former press secretary of the president, and now she is one of the blondes over at Fox News Channel. And President Trump is really upset with her of late, and he put out a tweet the other day, yesterday, accusing her of providing the wrong polling numbers during an appearance on Fox. And here's what he wrote. Kayleigh Milquetoast McEnany just gave out the wrong poll numbers on Fox News. I am 34 points up on DeSanctimonious, not 25 up. The president wrote this on True Social. And by the way, that's the nickname for Ron DeSantis. While 25 is great, it's not 34. She knew the number was corrected upwards by the group that did the poll. The rhinos and globalists can have her. Fox News should only use real stars. McEnany is a co-host of the Fox News program Outnumbered. You know, this show, when it first started, it featured four women and then a dude in the middle. And they called the dude who is on the show the one lucky guy. Sometimes, not so lucky to be on that show. Just saying. Anyway, McEnany told Jesse Waters Tuesday night that polling in Iowa showed DeSantis closing the gap on the former president, and that set off Trump. I mean, that's what it was. A recent survey from Emerson College showed the former president leading DeSantis by 42 points among Iowa voters. So he's catching a lot of heat over all of this, and Fox News was defending McEnany. A lot of conservatives out there defending McEnany, and they say the president was out of bounds here on this one, that he should not have gone after Kayleigh McEnany. And they say the president needs to lay off these people and focus on the task at hand, which is winning the primary and beating Joe Biden. But I'm curious. I just want to hear from you. Do you think the president's being a jerk? I mean, that's what they're saying, that the president's being a jerk. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, you've heard from me. I think the president needs to lay off some of this stuff. But I want to explain there's a backstory here. And I want to explain the backstory. Because Kayleigh McEnany, and this actually makes Trump look pretty good, but Kayleigh McEnany was a rabid anti-Trumper back in the day. Going back to 2015, Kayleigh McEnany was actively campaigning against Donald Trump. If Kayleigh McEnany had her way, Donald Trump would not be in the White, would have never made it to the White House. Now, some of you out there are saying, well, that's just not true. Starnes, she's always been on Trump's side. No, she hasn't. Yes, she has. You don't know what you're talking about. No, really. No, you don't know what you're talking about. All right. All right. All right. I tried to tell you. Josh, let's play cut number 9.
Kaylee, how sick of polls are people in New Hampshire right now? Probably very sick, especially when they see that Donald Trump is number 2 and doesn't deserve to be there. Look, the GOP doesn't need to be turning away voters and isolating them. We need to be bringing them into the tent. Donald Trump is the last person who's going to do that. I think that the stance of most Republicans is we've got to plug the border, but I think the mainstream Republican does not want to send the illegal immigrant back to Mexico. I think that they're here to stay. That's not the American way. We're not going to ship people across the border. There has to be some path to citizenship. Donald Trump has shown himself to be a showman. I don't think he's a serious candidate.
Kaylee, this is your guy. He's number 2 in the polls.
Hey, I don't want to claim this guy. Donald Trump, if we're going to be honest, is a progressive. He supports eminent domain. He's supported tax increases before. He's donated $300,000 to Democratic candidates. So the fact that the Republican Party is now having to claim him is both unfortunate and, to me, inauthentic, because this is not a true Republican candidate. And the fact that he's being portrayed as such in media is troublesome and not accurate.
All right. There you go. Kayleigh McEnany was anti-Trump. So along comes Donald Trump, and guess what happens? He gets elected, brings on Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Oh, who was the first? Oh, it was little fella. Oh, what was his name? Had the show on Newsmax. Jeez, why do I forgot his name. Anyway, someone will remind me. But then you had short little dude who completely bombed. That was Sean Spicer. And then you had Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who did a terrific job. She was pro-Trump all the way. So was Spicy. And then you had Kayleigh McEnany, who did a terrific job. I thought she did a great job as press secretary. But, you know, just think about this. The mind of Donald Trump, he saw Kayleigh McEnany, and he knew what she was saying about him. I mean, she was on all the major channels. And she was attacking Donald Trump. And yet Trump saw something in her, and he brought her on board, in spite of all of the hate and the vitriol. So what happened? So Kayleigh McEnany, and just ask yourself this question. If Kayleigh McEnany had not been the press secretary for the president of the United States, would she be enjoying all of the fame and fortune that she now has at Fox News Channel? A simple question to ask. I don't think she would have. I really don't. But her position, thanks to Donald Trump, elevated her. The same thing happened to Alyssa Farah, who, by the way, I worked with Alyssa's mother for years. We've known them for years. And Alyssa, nobody knew who she was. She got a job. And by the way, her dad owns WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah. And she got a job working at the Trump White House. And as soon as it all imploded, they both turned on the president. And Alyssa Farah on The View now. And as a result of that, got a high-profile gig. So the question is Trump a jerk, or is he just tired of people using him to get ahead? Because that's what happened here. Without Trump, I don't think Alyssa Farah would be a co-host on The View. I really don't. A very talented person. But again, she was brought to the nation's prominence thanks to Donald Trump. And instead of saying, thank you, Mr. President, and embracing President Trump, they turn on him, stab him in the back for the almighty dollar. That's just the reality of it all. Taking nothing away from McEnany or Alyssa Farah. But I don't know what Alyssa does because I can't watch The View. It's the yammering of the squawking of the magpies. I just can't handle it. So anyway, the question at hand, is President Trump a jerk? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Scott in Arkansas. Scott, what say you?
This is Victor at Silver Spring.
Okay, Victor in Silver Springs, what say you?
Sometimes it does take a jerk to get the job done. My father was in the Coast Guard, and he was very strict, bringing me up when I was growing up, and everybody thought he was a jerk for doing that, but I turned out to be a better person, did not end up in a sheltered workshop. So, yeah, some people will consider Trump a jerk, but at least he got the job done.
Well, there is that. A lot of people, and honestly, I mean, what he said about McEnany was not all that bad. I mean, I guess it could have been worse. But people are really, really upset about this, calling the president, the former president, pathetic. Others calling the former president unhinged. And Kaylee is really getting a lot of support from the Fox News anchors. Brian Kilmeade actually called the attack insane. Britt Hume said, imagine being so immature as to attack your former press secretary, who was nothing if not loyal, for allegedly misquoting a poll number. And again, I don't think McEnany was being nefarious here. I think maybe she just misspoke. But you wonder what's going on. Guy Benson, who's one of the leftists over at Fox News, says Kaylee was one of the only voices defending Trump on CNN when he ran in 16. But again, you have to go back to 2015 when she was openly attacking Trump. Just, you got to tell the whole story here, folks. Guy Benson says, I often disagreed with her, but she was prepared, relentless, and unafraid of being heavily outnumbered. Then she served as Trump's chief spokesperson, and then he shares a link to this. So basically trying to smear the president. Victor, appreciate that call. Let's go to Scott in Conway, Arkansas. Scott, sorry about that, but what's on your mind?
No, that's fine, Todd. I think you're right. Well, here's the thing. How do I say this? You know, if you'll take our governor, Sarah Sanders, which I love, she's great. You know, it helped. It didn't hurt her, you know, with her relationship with Trump to help her get the governorship here. I'm sure it helped. I know she's a great girl and her father's a great guy, but it certainly didn't hurt her numbers in Arkansas when she's, you know, for governor. But you're right. What bothers me, Todd, is that, and I know you got to go, what bothers me is I'm worried about Donald Trump, and I love Trump, but I'm worried about, I know he carries this chip on his shoulder from what happened. We know he does. I would. But the things he says when he attacks McEnany, she probably got the numbers wrong. I don't know if he's looking like the old man in the yard yelling at people to get off my yard. It kind of bothers me, and I'm worried about it, to be honest with you. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's one of these situations where, first of all, I don't think she meant anything by it.
I don't either.
I just think maybe the president was in a bad mood and he just doesn't know who to trust anymore. Because
yeah,
every single person who has had his back has turned around and has stabbed him in the back. And a lot of this has to do with, and again, a lot of it has to do with the people that he's brought into his inner circle. Mm-hmm. And there have been many people that have been giving him counsel, wise counsel, on how to handle that. And that's ultimately up to him. But I appreciate and respect what Sarah Sanders did. You know, she has never disrespected the president, and she has honored him because she would not be the governor of Arkansas had it not been for the job she had and for his support. And that
I agree.
I just believe that. But I think,
believe that, too.
Yeah. So I think there's a way to do it. So I don't know if there was bad blood there between the president and Kaylee. I don't know. So it was either that, there's something that we just don't know about, or it was just he was in a mood. Maybe that was it.
He's still my man.
All right. Well,
still the one I'm pulling for.
But I hear you. I think there's a lot of truth to what you say, Scott, that we just, you know, the man has been under the gun. I just don't see how he does it.
Right. Me either. I couldn't do it.
All right. Scott, appreciate you listening and calling in. Let's go to one of our brand new affiliate stations, WTJS, that Super Talk Tennessee. Patrick is calling in from Beach Bluff, Tennessee. Patrick, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Mr. Starnes?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind, Patrick?
Hello. I was going to comment on Trump being on the question of whether or not Trump was being a jerk. And I was going to say no, because if you present information that's not correct or is misleading or may deviate from other statistics, you have the right to call that out on people. So I would say that perhaps Kaylee McEnany got it wrong and she needs to own up to that.
Well, and if she did, and I don't know the numbers, Patrick, but if she did, you're right. She needs to correct it. Let me ask you about your vote in 2024. Who are you liking in the Republican primary and why?
I'm leaning towards Trump because I believe he has a type of charisma that, for example, Ron DeSantis lacked when he did his deal on Twitter involving Elon Musk, and I believe that he represents the party and the resistance to the establishment at Washington, D.C.
Patrick, well said, and I suspect that many, many others around the country feel the same way you do. I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for listening to our brand new affiliate. I'll expand on this thought after the break, but I watched DeSantis doing an event in Iowa, about 350 people turning out. DeSantis is not turning out the big crowds, and maybe that's part of the strategy. I don't know. But the wife was there, Casey DeSantis. And, you know, a lot of people really enjoyed hearing from her. I had never heard her speak before in public. And it was a little awkward. It was just odd. It was awkward. And they were trying to portray this whole family thing. And she's got the three kids. And, you know, the reason why her voice was hoarse is because she was screaming at the kids all day. And she wouldn't let that go. I mean, at first it was kind of humorous and people laughed. But then she kept on with the joke. I guess it was a joke, and people stopped laughing. It was just weird. But the super weird part was she never called Ron DeSantis her husband. She always called him the governor. The governor this, the governor that. When the governor comes home to play with the kids, and you're like, wait, what's going on here? I dipped in late, and I'm thinking, who is this person talking about the governor? And it turned out to be his wife. But maybe that's how he wants to be referred to. He said, honey, you have to call me the governor. Right? It was odd. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. This is a crazy story, and we're going to get into more of this on the other side of the break, but I want to set it up. So you need to understand something about conservative media out there, and there's a lot of it. And a lot of people are grifters, so they really don't believe what they say they believe. And many of them hide their beliefs, or they hide how they truly feel because they want to make a dollar. They want to make a buck off of the conservative movement. I mean, it's going on. Pardon me. During the commercial break, I'm trying to eat healthy. And Ben Dieter and the staff here at the Mighty 990 KWAM, our flagship station, and I had a carrot. And it's hard to eat the carrots. It doesn't go well with coffee. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, all that to say that there are a lot of groups out there, and they really are not all that conservative. Every now and again, an issue pops up, and I want to share this issue with you. This is from the Daily Wire. And so the head honcho, the chief executive officer of the Daily Wire, is upset with his own staff. And here's the reason why. So they have written a story about The Chosen. Have you seen The Chosen? I'm working my way through season one. So I'm a late bloomer to the series, but it's the story of Jesus. It's based on the life of Christ, and people love this thing. Hugely popular. Anyway, someone noticed that there's a rainbow pride flag on the set of The Chosen. And going back through the New Testament, it's really hard to see any evidence that Jesus actually walked around with a rainbow flag. So people are wondering what the heck is going on. And the Daily Wire wrote a story about this, basically just saying, hey, what the heck is going on here? And that's a legitimate question to ask, right? Anyway, Jeremy Boring, the CEO of Daily Wire, is calling it a disgusting piece of journalism, and he's sorry we ran it. So we're going to get into that after the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour, so hang tight. Unbelievable. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. back, everybody. So I want to go back to this story about the... Before we get to The Chosen, though, we had a call. One of our great investigative reporters, I mean, you guys are citizen journalists out there. So we had a guy call in earlier and talk about a Wendy's in... Where was this? It was Cary, North Carolina. All right, Ben. And so we had the gentleman on, and he told us the allegation was there was what a... It was a drag queen?
The allegation, as told to the Todd Stern Show, was that if you wanted a Frosty or any form of sandwich from Wendy's, you must be in drag.
May I just say something here just as an aside?
Sure.
Wendy's fries, eh, not so good. McDonald's fries, delicious. McDonald's fries dipped in the Frosty, that's heaven.
Oh, that's a combo.
It's a combo player.
But is it a combo worth getting in drag for? That's the question.
Good question.
Because that was the allegation. You couldn't get anything from this fast food restaurant in Cary unless you were in drag.
All right. So the gentleman calls in, and it sounded very on to me, and sometimes we get the crank calls. And this smelled like a crank call, but it may not have been a crank call. And if that's the case, I owe the gentleman from Cary, North Carolina, an apology.
So we have an investigative reporter listening to the show who lived in Statesville, North Carolina. I know you have a lot of great listeners there.
This is like 60 minutes.
She calls up every single Wendy's in the town of Cary.
What's her name? Do we know her name?
Call back, because she dropped. She was going to relay this, but I'm passing it along.
Okay.
She says that she gets in contact with the Wendy's where this allegation was made.
What? The Wendy's?
The Wendy's.
Because there were like three Wendy's in Cary, North Carolina, but not one on North Elm Street.
She reaches a member who self-identified as a member of the LGBTQ community.
Wait, what?
Our investigative journalist said she did not discriminate against, though she has different belief systems than this employee, it didn't matter. She just wanted the truth. So her question to the employee was, did you or do you discriminate against people who do not want to get into drag to get your burgers or Frosties?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Very good question. He responds, or I should say, we don't know their gender because I don't know that she knew. We don't discriminate, but I also am proud to be a member of the LGBT community.
That's what the guy on the phone said at the Wendy's.
That is what he said. I'm a proud supporter of LGBTQ gay rights.
Wow. So that happened. That's a lot. So she just called up.
You would think they would deny the allegation.
Wow. That's fascinating. So she called up. Hello, this is Wendy. Sebastian here. I'm a genderqueer. My pronouns are zippity and doodah. Is that how it goes? I mean, I'm surprised.
I'm shocked Wendy hasn't come out as like either a lesbian or something in the community.
Oh, no. Wendy's knows where the beef is. Oh. Pardon me. That's what the commercials are. It's back in the day. You can Google it, boys. All right. So we don't know who the citizen. So first of all, my apologies to the poor guy who called in. I doubted him because it sounded so absurd and outrageous that somebody at a Wendy's would say, if you're not in drag, you're not welcome here.
A wild, wild allegation we can't seem to squash.
It's a hard sell for people. I mean, you want to go in there and get a single with cheese and maybe a Frosty, and you got to bring your high heels and pantyhose.
You know, it goes back to that thing. What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Not that. I'm sorry, the Klon what? never mind.
I almost walked into that one.
Keep us updated, Ben Dieter. We have citizen journalists across the fruited plain, and we will get to the bottom of the Wendy's scandal brewing in Cary, North Carolina.
That we will.
You know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to get a call. You know, our affiliate, WSIC. This is the owner of the Wendy's. What are you people doing? We're getting all these people coming in and calling. We're just trying to expose truth in America, ladies and gentlemen.
The news... Todd and I, we're on your side, and we will get to the bottom of
Ben Dieter, you're on the case. All right. Thank you, and our apologies to whoever called in. I feel horrible now. All right. Let's go to Kitty in North Carolina on the talk station. Kitty, have you been to a Wendy's lately by any chance?
Well, yes.
They didn't make you dress in drag, did they, Kitty?
No.
All right. Good. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way. All right. Let's talk about Donald Trump.
Okay, I just have a comment. I like President Trump, and I will vote for him again. But he needs to stop calling people names. Now he's calling Governor DeSantis names. And I hear people comment about his mouth all the time. He needs to try to control his mouth because all that tacky talk he's talking is not presidential. And I'm afraid he's just going to do a lot of harm to himself. I don't want him to lose the election. I plan to vote for him again. But he really does need to calm his mouth. That is my comment.
Kitty, well said. And we will relay that information to the president. You know, he's going to be on the program on Monday. And look, I think a lot of people feel the same way you do. That is just over the top. He needs to be more presidential. But on the other side, there are people saying, hey, you know, they like it when he goes out there and does the name calling. I'm not sure this is the right course of action.
You know, I like him. I like most everything he says. But I just think it's just childish for him to call people names. That's not necessary.
All right, Kitty, we've got you down. Appreciate you calling in. And be sure to listen on Monday when President Trump is on the program. 844-747-8868. All right. So is this true? We have Sarah on the line. So Sarah is our citizen journalist, reporter. You're kind of like an investigative reporter undercover, Sarah. How are you today?
Hey, Todd. It's Farrah, like Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, Farrah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My apologies. You know, Sarah, we've got all these Gen Zers working for the show, and they don't know Farrah. You know, they don't know.
I know.
It's sad. They don't teach them anything in the schools.
I've called in before. Here's the thing, Todd.
All right, Farrah.
I called all three of the Wendy and Carrie. And by the way, the earlier caller, and I don't mean to discredit him, but there is no Wendy's on North Elm Street.
Well, you see, and Farrah, that's what threw me off, and it caused me to wonder, is this guy prank calling us? Because it does sound like an absurd story.
So I just had to, I couldn't help it. If someone, especially if they're Christian or Jews or whatever, if they're being discriminated, I can't stand that. I have to do something. As long as I live and breathe, I've got to do something. Doggone it. So I called. And I spoke with, his name is, and I said, is this the manager? His name is Wania on Kildare Farm Road, 1343, Kildare Farm Road in Kerry. And he was the first Wendy's I spoke with. And he said, and I asked him, did you or did you not? First of all, I said, do you discriminate? Do you discriminate if someone isn't dressed as a drag queen or support LGBTQ? There was a long pause, Todd. And he said, I am a proud supporter of LGBTQ. I said, yes, sir. Well, what do you want to know, ma'am? I said, I want to know the truth. Did you or did you not recently deny a young man food because he wasn't dressed in LGBTQ? Again, long pause. And I said, Wania, I'm listening.
Wania.
He said, we don't discriminate here.
So he answered you with a non-answer.
He answered me with a non-answer and politely hung up in my ear.
He hung up on you.
He did. Yes, sir.
All right.
So then I called the next one, Kildare Farm Road, 2964, in Cary, North Carolina. And I asked the manager the same question. And unfortunately, there was a very bad connection because I don't know why. because I have a smartphone. But she said, I can't hear you, and I'm not allowed to answer that question.
Wow. It sounds like a conspiracy now. Farrah, this is insane. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. And, well, you know, Revelation says that we will be persecuted in the end days, but we're not there yet. This is just
flame broiled. Oh, that's Burger King. No, but you're right.
It's just a light feather on our arm right now. So then I called the third one on Maynard Road.
It's like the four apocalypse, the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
You called the third one. What happened?
And so this fellow had such a thick accent, but I said, let me get to, he said, I can't hear you again. Suddenly a bad connection. I said, oh, you can hear me fine because I can hear you.
It's always the bad phone connection. We do that here on the station sometimes. So.
And I asked him again, and he said, what do you want? I said, I want to know the truth. Did you or did you not recently deny a fellow person food because he wasn't dressed in drag?
And what did he say? What we've got, we don't have a lot of time here, so what did he say, Farrah?
Okay. He just said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want to know what you're talking about. But he did say at the very end, LGBTQ rules. And again, hung up.
What?
On me. Again.
In Cary, North Carolina, three gay Whitneys and one town. Holy cow. Farrah, I don't know what to say. It's just insane. Go to Bojangles. That's my recommendation. I guess. Wow. Farrah, good job. And thank you. And look, Farrah is doing the work of a journalist, making the calls, asking the tough questions and not backing down. Good for you. If only they did that in the mainstream media, Ben Dieter. I mean, you went to journalism school.
We don't report like that anymore. That's why we have fake news, because of people that aren't employed like Farrah. If Farrah was working in the White House press corps, we would have an honest press.
KBJ, have you now or have you ever refused service from someone because they were not in drag? Answer the question.
And a non-answer is an answer. There you go.
Wow. Well done, Farrah.
Wow. All right. She deserves the Edward R. Murrow Award.
I'm going to nominate her.
Okay.
That's good stuff. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. I got to get back to the story about The Chosen. We're going to get to your calls as well. 844-747-8868. You know what's going to happen? We're going to be doing a book signing at WSIC. I'm going to have a hankering for a Wendy's single with no cheese, and I'm not going to be able to get served. But that's okay. It's what we do. It's the price we must pay for speaking truth to the culture. All right, big news, everybody. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax. Eric Bolling's show is up over 200% of the ratings now that Tucker Carlson got fired, got the heave-ho at Fox. And they have a terrific primetime lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, Chris Plant can't be beat. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news you can trust. And that's why you need to be watching Eric Bolling tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern. Find out why Newsmax is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel. You can get Newsmax on all major cable systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app, and you can make the switch today. It really is that simple. Folks, Newsmax is real news for real people. All right, want to give a shout out to the Memphis Police Department. I had another carjacking yesterday, and the little thug opened fire on police. So the police returned fire, and my goodness, they are just such great shots. They didn't kill the guy. He's in the hospital. I think it was a flesh wound. I don't know. But anyway, they shot the carjacker, and I say good for the police department. And folks, that's the only way we're going to combat this war zone that we live in called Memphis, Tennessee. So I say shoot them in the kneecaps, officer. Good for you, sir. So at least they can't run away. All right. let's get back to the phones. Now, Dieter, this story is taking on a life of its own. So earlier we had a call alleging that that someone was denied service at a Wendy's because he wasn't dressed in drag. We've had a citizen journalist call in, and now our good friend Patty's on the line. Patty, what is happening here?
It's true.
What?
It's true. My girlfriend Jen called. She knows I listen to you, Mr. Disc Jockey. I'm not going to call you Todd no more.
Mr. Disc Jockey. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to call you because, could you imagine, though? You know what it reminds me of? Can I say something? I want to say it real fast. There was a show, Seinfeld. There was a program where Elaine was dating the maestro, and his name was Rob, and he wanted to be called the maestro.
Oh.
So every time when she went out to dinner, or she was like, kissing him and stuff like that, she'd go, Rob. He goes, no, my name's Maestro.
Why DeSantis? Okay.
Okay, all right. So
it makes sense.
I put two and two together. Yeah. Poor Casey has to call this guy governor, okay? Anyway, so let me get back to the story and Carrie. Yeah, my girlfriend Jen called me. She said, it's very true. They're hanging up on, because this guy and Carrie, you could say thank you to him because I think he just started a firestorm.
Wow. So people are marching on the Wendy's. Wow. So
there's three of them. There's three of them, and all three are big LB, ABCDEFG.
BLT. That's what I call it. A little mayo.
I don't even want to know about mayo.
Okay. No, it's a BLT, Patty. It's a BLT.
Okay, sorry.
Patty, I feel like I'm in some sort of Twilight Zone episode tonight.
No,
I don't know what's
happening.
Going on.
This guy that called you was telling the truth.
I feel so bad. I want the guy to call back. Oh, we've got to get Kitty to call back because I wanted to give Kitty a copy of my book for doing a good job. All right, so.
I'm telling
Patty,
I'm telling you, come to North Carolina because I'll tell you right now, these people are right on the ball, man. They're like, boom. You're like
wow.
News reporters in 2 seconds.
I love it. RWSIC listeners, you guys are like a fierce breed of radio listeners.
Oh yeah, we don't take nothing here. We're definitely like right on the ball. And I want to say thank you, Kitty. And the first guy that called, it sounded a little weird because I was hearing it too, and I thought, this guy's joking. But no, he's not joking. He's telling the truth.
All right, Patty, good hearing from you. We got a skedaddle for a break here. Thank you for that. Kitty, give us a call back if you're listening. And guy we thought was prank calling us, give us a call back. And we want to hook you up with, let's give them culture jihad, how to stop the left from killing a nation. We may have to add a new chapter on Wendy's. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Dieter working the phones today, and really for the next couple of weeks, staff doing the vacation thing. And anyway, Dieter, I was sort of excited. I saw, when you get an email, you just see the subject line and you only see a partial bit of the subject matter mm-hmm. of the email. And it was coming from the White House. I'm on their email distribution list. And it was a proclamation on Lebanese Pride Month. And I thought, wow. I opened it. I'm having some vision issues. It was not Lebanese. It was lesbian. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Pride Month.
Has it already begun?
They're getting ready. It's so long that I don't know how they're going to fit all of that on a t-shirt, but that is the proclamation. The proclamation on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex Pride Month. Man, I was looking forward to some baklava.
I'm assuming you're not getting the royal invite.
I'm not getting tabbouleh either.
Oh.
Yeah. What is it? Do you say gyro or the gyro?
Well, I typically say gyro, but I was corrected by the Greeks in town.
Yeah, here. The Greeks. Yeah, the Greek festival. Yeah.
They corrected me as soon as I said it.
But anyway, there's none of that because they're not celebrating Lebanese. They're celebrating lesbians. My apologies. So disappointing. But I could go for some, you know, hummus or something, at least. All right. Thank you, Ben. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program, everybody. Good to have you back on this hour. You know what I just did in the commercial break? And this is how easy it is. I just downloaded a brand new app, and I'm not one to do the apps, but this one is pretty awesome. It's called the Real Life Network. And if you go to your app store, you can just type in Real Life Network. And it took me literally 15 seconds to download. And I'm already up and running, and it is an amazing new app that is put together by our good friend. He is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, our good friend, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor, good to have you back with us today.
Hey, Todd, it's great to be with you. I'm just still laughing about your intro on the Lebanese email.
Just a few letters, you know, it changes the meaning. What can you say?
You know, words matter, and words. So do acronyms, apparently.
Clearly, I want a BLT sandwich, and that could mean something very different. Hold the mayo.
Watch out.
Hello.
Yeah.
Wow. Pastor, congratulations. This is exciting, and I want you to tell our listeners about this incredible new app, and you can actually watch all sorts of incredible program.
Yeah, in fact, everybody, it's being populated now. It was launched on Pentecost Sunday, last Sunday, Real Life Network, and it's so exciting, Todd, because you're not only on there or going to be on there as the engineers are populating it right now, but this is the smallest it's ever going to be. This is the littlest it's ever going to be. We have been so blessed, Todd, to be able to respond back to this cancel culture, and insulate ourselves, because you know, Todd, we got canceled so many times, we were harassed so many times on Facebook and YouTube, that what we wound up doing by God's grace is creating now the Real Life Network, and it's cancel free. You're going to be on there. Great programming, safe, conservative Bible teaching. And we're just thrilled about it. And Todd, of course, I love you, brother. So we're going to be so excited to have you on. And we announced it at first service on Sunday morning. And by the end of first service, we had over 100,000 downloads of the app. So
wow.
That's thrilling.
That's huge. And I can tell you that does not happen every day. So that is a massive number, and congratulations. And folks, it's really amazing. And Pastor, I was watching one of your sermons during the break, and it's just amazing the quality. It's happening in real time, so you get to see all of it. And this is terrific. Yeah. And it's free of charge as well.
Yeah, you know, that's the beautiful thing about it is God blessed us so much during the COVID drama that we were able to have free subscription, and it's free to our programmers. Those that are on the program, like Todd Stearns Show, they don't have to pay a dime for that. The Lord has truly provided, and so our commitment is getting truth out around the world, and so we're thrilled about it, and we just can't wait to see what God does with it. It was His idea. He's provided for it, so we're hanging on for dear life.
I think it's exciting. Folks, again, Real Life Network, just type that in at the App Store, free of charge. All they need is and the other great thing is they don't need a lot of info, just your email address, your password, and you're good to go. And you can download that, and I'd encourage you to do it right now, Real Life Network. You know, Pastor, you mentioned the woke mob out there, and of course, you guys in Southern California are dealing with this in real time, with the Los Angeles Dodgers and their decision to not only re-invite, but to honor this anti-Catholic group that openly mocks Christ and people of faith.
Well, yes, and I have to tell you, the amazing thing, Todd, is we've got to wait and see how this shakes out, and I say that for this reason. We've got Target. We've got L.A. Dodgers doing what they're doing, and the loss of income and the backlash, thank God, in Southern California has been huge. I mean, people are, I know a corporation, a president of a very large national corporation based in Southern California. They had a fleet of Dodger season tickets for decades, and he canceled them. And this is happening wholesale regarding the Dodger organization. And yet, they're just doubling down. Target's doing the same thing. So I don't know what's up. God does know. But we're going to do the right thing no matter what, and I'm happy to report. In fact, as I'm speaking to you right now, Todd, live, we have just ended a Southern California Comeback California Conference, which we hosted. We had 500 pastors show up free of charge. They stayed overnight at the Hyatt Regency Resort just to get them, for example, to engage in their communities with voter registration. In California, ballot collection is legal. We have perfected that. And I tell you what, man, I've never been more proud to be a Californian. California pastors are standing up, and the citizens have had enough. Either Democrat, Republican, even atheist are fed up. And so I'm stoked, Todd. This is awesome.
It's exciting. I got a call from our good friend, Pastor Paul Chappell, up in Lancaster, which is up in the high desert of Los Angeles County. And they would normally take their church school. They've got the university up there. Thousands of tickets they would buy. And Pastor Chappell wrote him a letter, said, that's it. We're done. We're just not going to participate in this anymore. And, Pastor, we just got word, and this is sort of going viral. One of the L.A. Dodgers players, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, but Blake Treinen, putting out a public letter, you know, again, calling out his own organization for inviting this group to attend Pride Night.
Yeah, absolutely. And Todd, you know this region of the world. It's historically and heavily Hispanic population, which means they're heavily Catholic. And I'm really interested right now for a lot of our Hispanic brothers and sisters in the LA region. They're going to have to make a decision now because they're very pro-life. And they are very, very Catholic, and now they've got, and they're very, very Dodger. And so now they've got to decide, am I going to stand with what I know is right, or am I going to be loyal as a fan? And we're all praying, and we're making some noise out this way. Hey, you guys, it's time to just cut loose from the world. Come and join Team Jesus, because you cannot endorse, you cannot fund, it's time for us to actually expose this rampant evil. And, of course, you know, Todd, it's not only in California, but it is everywhere right now.
You're right, Pastor, and we all have to stand up. You know, the opening monologue of the program today was really a call to arms for people that we've got to take a stand. We have to be happy warriors. We are ambassadors for Christ. We don't go around burning things down. But you know what? You can make a statement with your pocketbook, and that's how you can truly make a statement. By not going to Target and not going to the LA Dodgers. And, you know, again, the list goes on and on and on. But I'm wondering, Pastor, are they in tune? Do they understand what's happening in their culture right now?
You know, I think they do. And I'm not just guessing. The reason why I think that is because, for example, Eric Metaxas was the keynote speaker last night at this event. And Eric said, I've got to tell all of you here in this gathering. He said, I speak all over the nation. And he said, I have found a level of complacency among many of the red states. But he says, when I go to the bluest of the blue, New York and California, and he said, California tops the list, listen to this, with the enthusiasm of pastors and Christians waking up and fighting back in the ballot box, fighting back in the school boards. And Todd, we have seen tremendous gains for conservatism or even faith in school board meetings and local elections. And you're not hearing it on the national news providers. They're not mentioning California. I think we're seeing a shift, and it may be. Eric said last night, he said, I think a revival began on May 31st, 2020 on Pentecost Sunday when churches in California began to open up against Gavin Newsom's desires. And it's done nothing but spool up. There are more and more people going to churches, and we're seeing people now, amazing amount of people, Todd, that have now come out of the disillusionment of the LGBTQ, the trans issue. They're saying, I'm scared. What do I do now? And we're giving them Jesus Christ, the hope of Christ. And I tell you, Todd, I love Memphis, Tennessee, but I wouldn't leave where I'm at right now for anything at all.
No, I don't blame you one bit, Pastor, and we want to stand alongside all of those freedom-loving citizens of California who are waking up, and they're realizing, hey, we've got to do something about this. And I love what you said about the ballot harvesting. Look, this worked like a charm in Florida, and I think we have to adapt. We have to modernize how we handle our elections, and really, we have to make sure that the Christian community engages in their rights. And Pastor, I just sincerely believe that we have a biblical responsibility to engage our culture by going out and voting.
Well, Todd, listen, you just set this up, so I have to hit the ball. If everybody would go to realimpact.us, realimpact.us, we have a national effort to teach churches and community leaders. We're doing it in Florida. We've just been invited by the Republican Party in Florida to get it out there. And we are schooling churches on how to host a ballot collection drive, which is legal in many states now, if not all, the way things are going. But if people would just go to realimpact.us, at our expense, on our effort, we will teach your church on how to legally, safely receive ballots. And I got to tell you, we've been doing it now for several years in California, and people are thrilled to vote because they get to track, Todd, they get to track their ballot. It's on an app. They can track their ballot as it makes its way all the way through the system. And people are thrilled. We've got people in our community who are not even Christians. They know every 2 years to pull up to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. There are cameras, there are security guards, and they get to vote safely, and then they get to monitor their vote all the way through until it's counted. They get a text that says, congratulations, your vote was just counted.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, Pastor, we've got to leave it there. We're running super late for a break, but again, I want to, again, pitch the incredible new app, Real Life Network. Folks, you can download that at the App Store. Be sure to sign up today. There's going to be some great programming. And as the pastor mentioned, our show is going to be on there as well. And Pastor, again, that website where people can get plugged in.
They can get plugged into simply reallifenetwork.com, reallifenetwork.com. And the other one is realimpact.us.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Pastor Jack, always good to have you on the show. Congratulations.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you, brother.
All right. Good guy right there. Great, great pastor as well. The teaching and the preaching coming out of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills is just remarkable. Dr. Jack Gibbs, ladies and gentlemen, founder and president of Real Life Ministry, and he also has a syndicated national TV and radio program. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. I'm fired up. I'm excited for people staying and fighting the good fight in California and in places like New York, where you guys came very close in New York to throwing Kathy Hochul out of office. I mean, we're making gains. The challenge is the folks in the red states cannot become complacent. That's the warning here from Pastor Hibbs. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's head over to the phones. Tracy in Memphis, Tennessee, our great flagship station, KWAM. Tracy, hey. What's going on?
Ooh, a lot, but I'm going to stop because I need to address this. I can't ever get the letters right, LBGTQ, LBMGYN, but I will say this. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I've stated all my letters. Why can't we just get together and love and love and love?
Hello. Now, I love it.
Yeah, I don't understand how they expect us to just be forced into something we don't believe. That's not, that within itself is not right. We can do this
civilly. We can handle this civilly. I'm serious. You know, because you're going to treat that person right, correct? You're not going to treat them any differently, right? I mean, to a certain point now, you know. But they're the ones taking the civilization out of this. That's how I feel.
Oh, because Tracy, we are so far removed from when Barack Obama stood before the country and said, look, gay marriage is not going to impact you. You go live your life. That's all. That's what he said. And we now know that was a bald-faced lie.
Very well meant well, but he doesn't have control over the people that really think that they can force non-believers. And I'm like, again, to each its own. If they feel that that's what they want to do, so be it. And they came to, if I hypothetically had a restaurant, I owned a restaurant, and they come in, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. But when you get demanding on things such as, you know, I there are a couple of things I've heard and I just don't believe in. I'm not going to, if I were a doctor, I would not accept changing your sex. And I'm sorry, I'd have to go down for doing it, for refusing to, because it's not right. You know, when I have the Bible backing me up, you see what I'm saying?
Mm.
There's nothing you can do to force me. So I'm just saying, the Bible backed me up.
I got one of those, and I have one of those, I got one of those hardback Bibles with the, you've got the family tree going all the way back to Noah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Tracy. Come on. Tracy's preaching today. I could go for a BLT, though. A little extra mayo, if you don't mind. Hey, we got to take a break. Senator Tim Scott is coming up. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, and again, a little bit of homework today, but you need to be on the phones, sending emails, calling your elected leaders in Congress, representatives, senators, let them know where you stand on the debt ceiling. They need to hear from you, and we've got a lot of work to do between now and tonight when the vote is held in the House of Representatives. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from the great state of Florida, our good friend Senator Rick Scott. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I completely agree with you. Call your House members, senator, wherever side you're on. I have my views of it, but I think everybody, let them know what you think, because this is representative government. We are supposed to represent the citizens of our district or our state. So let them know where you are. I have concerns about the bill because it's not addressing the issues that Floridians talk to me about. They talk to me about inflation, retirement benefits, medical bill costs. And this bill doesn't address that. It's not that Kevin McCarthy didn't work hard. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you vote for it, you're an evil person. It means we're not solving the problems of the country. We have $31 trillion of the debt. This is going to take us to at least 35. When do we finally say that this amount of debt is too much? And there's and inflation is too high. We at some point we're going to have to say it's going to be hard, but we got to make the tough choices. You do it every day in your personal life. Your government should be doing the same thing.
Senator, I remember the moment that we got word that a deal had been reached. I looked outside. It was dark outside. It was on the weekend, long holiday weekend, and I didn't even have to read anything. I thought to myself, "Uh-oh, here we go."
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating. I mean, think about what people what people are worried about. You know what causes inflation is government. Government wasting your money. Government spending trillions of dollars that they don't have. We don't have a revenue problem. We have record revenue in this country. We have an unbelievable spending problem. Think about this, Todd. In 2019, if you go from 2019 to today, our population has only increased by 1.8%. If we follow the Biden budget, which is what we're talking about, then the spending will go up 55% in 5 years. Who does this? And by the way, We can't make people more dependent on government. We don't can't afford it now. Don't make more people dependent.
Senator, we have a great group of ladies, and they listen to this show every week when they gather at the Methodist Church. They call themselves the Stitch and Chat Club. And these are just great patriotic ladies. And I guarantee you, we could give them a copy of the budget, give them some red ink pens, and they would be able to balance the budget and get rid of all the wasteful spending in about 90 minutes or so. And you wonder, what is going on in D.C. that people can't see that?
You know what it is? They don't believe the public cares about how they vote. All right? Because, first off, you know, up here, incumbents seem to win a lot. Right? The last election cycle, every incumbent that ran the Senate won. Only one incumbent governor lost. So it's like once people get elected, they think they're, darn voters are just I forget what I told people that I'm going to work on balancing the budget. It's just, it's too much work. I got to love I like spending money. Like this omnibus bill that was passed last December. Why didn't we wait and let Kevin McCarthy write the bill? Because people, Republicans and Democrats, wanted to spend your money. When you get a bill done up here, what you know is everybody got what they wanted. So you got your money in the bill. So now you got to vote for it. I remember when I first got up here, somebody came to me with the bill and said, well, I put some money in there for Florida. I said, take it out. I said, I didn't come up here to waste Floridians' money. So think about it. I've written big companies. We balance our budget every year. I remember my mom growing up, lived in public housing. She balanced her budget every year. She struggled, but she balanced the budget every year. So we all balance our budget. Your government can balance the budget. They just don't want to. I did it as governor. You know, I walked in 2010 when I got elected. I walked into the state of Florida budget. We had a $4 billion budget deficit. The state of Florida had not lived within its means in 20 years. This idea that states can't have to live within their means, it's a fallacy. They just borrow money. The state of Florida had borrowed an additional $1 billion a year. So my job was grow the economy, control the spending, and we did. And guess what? I paid off a third of the state debt by watching the money every day, looking at every line of the budget and saying, you know, that's a nice to have, but we don't really need it. I mean, why are we spending money like that? Well, I'm not doing it because people just want it. I'm doing it because it's something that the public needs. Government cannot solve every problem. We need to have safety nets, not permanent nets. I get it. If you're down in your luck, okay, but you'll get to be down in your luck your whole life. You've got to go get to work. So we need to have work requirements. If you want to be on food stamps, you want to be in public housing, go get a job. There's plenty of jobs out there. Now, if you don't make enough money, I got it. We're going to help you with food stamps. We'll help you with public housing. But guess what? If you just want to sit at home and not work and you're able-bodied, that's wrong. That's not how our country was built.
Senator, are you frustrated or disappointed in how the Republicans handled all of this in the House?
Well, I'm more frustrated. Look, I believe that Kevin McCarthy was in a tough position because Biden just kept saying no. And people are worried, oh, gosh, the world's going to end if we don't raise the debt ceiling. Think about it this way, Todd. If you have a kid that can't live within their means or a sibling that can't live within their means, are you more excited when they borrow money to pay the interest on their debt? Or are you more excited when the bank says, you know what, tough luck, you got to figure out how to live within your means? I'm more excited when people finally say, I'm going to live within my means. I'm going to figure this out. That's not what's – if we just keep raising the debt ceiling, we never make tough choices. We are borrowing money to pay the interest on the national debt. We are borrowing money. Think about that. That's crazy to think about. The most successful economy in the world cannot figure out how to live within the means. It has to borrow money just to pay the interest on their federal debt. That's what we're doing.
Wow. All right, let's talk practical. What happens next here? The House expected to vote tonight. What do you expect is going to happen when it hits the Senate?
Well, let's remember, Mitch McConnell, has always been here supporting debt ceiling increases. Hopefully we'll get some amendment votes. If this is going to be changed or stopped, I think there's a greater chance for it to happen in the House than it is the Senate. Remember 2 years ago, Mitch McConnell came to us at lunch and said, I've worked out a deal that no Republican senator has to vote for the raise of debt ceiling. We're just going to give the Democrats the ability to do it without us. So we don't have, you know, right now, unfortunately, Mitch McConnell is not focused on how much debt we have. I mean, I don't know why. Like in my state, I can tell you, people are worried about inflation. I don't know if it's different in Kentucky or not, but I can tell you what, in my state, people are, it's devastating. Inflation is a tax on the citizens caused by government spending, and it makes your car prices go up, your home prices go up, your food go up, everything goes up, and you say, well, it's inflation. No, it's your government doing this to you. Your government is causing inflation. Government caused inflation, not the other way around. It's, we live within our means, we won't have inflation. We've got to live within our means.
All right. Well, we're going to be paying close attention. I'm with you. It is frustrating. It really is. I want to end, though, with this note. You're a great American patriot, and I just so appreciate your concern for the NAACP putting out a travel advisory for your state. I want you to tell our listeners this advisory warning.
It's pretty simple. In our state, if I was a socialist, I probably wouldn't vacation in Florida. I mean, it's not a place where people say, oh, we love socialists. Think about it. We've got a lot of people from Cuba and Venezuela, Nicaragua that have seen socialism, and we know it doesn't work. And so if you're thinking about a vacation, I would think about another state because they're probably not going to be very receptive to you in Florida.
It's the craziest thing. We offered to send in FEMA to help evacuate the chairman of the NAACP in Tampa, where he apparently lives.
You can't make that stuff up. A guy that lives chose to live in Tampa is saying that people shouldn't visit our state. No, socialists, communists, people that believe in how great a country this is, shouldn't visit our state. We're the free state of Florida. We believe in your individual freedom to lead your life, not government dictating how you lead your life.
Well said, Senator. That's great. Golly, great. It's a crazy world. What are you going to do?
I know, isn't it something?
Senator, we always appreciate you coming on the program, and let's hope that smart minds prevail in the House and the Senate.
I hope so. I'm going to keep trying.
All right. Senator Rick Scott, everybody. All right. He's one of the good guys. It's true. I mean, look, this is what cracks me up. You've got all these LGBT groups, and they're concerned. They're saying it's no longer safe to live in the state of Florida, which is a hoot, because if you haven't been down to South Beach, they've got, look, if you throw a feather boa, you're going to hit a drag bar down there. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's just like the gay USA. As a matter of fact, some of the top gay-friendly cities in America, in the top 10, you have South Beach in Miami, you've got Fort Lauderdale, and you've got Key West, Florida. So unless there's been a mass evacuation of the gays, it looks like everybody's having a grand old time. No, I intentionally did not say gay old time, because that would have been inappropriate. No, they're having a great time down there. Anyway, we got to... You just can't make it up. Oh, one other thing before we go to break. Have you heard a theme here? You heard Ralph Norman, and you just heard Rick Scott. Did you hear the theme? Do you understand what the problem is now? We're not fighting the Democrats. We're fighting each other. This is conservatives versus Kevin McCarthy in the House and conservatives versus Mitch McConnell in the Senate. That's what's going on here, and that's why the Republicans are not being effective at all. I just want to point this out, and just hear me on this. We have yet to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. What does that say? We'll be right back. All right, one more thing about this Kayleigh McEnany, Donald Trump kerfuffle. And I appreciate someone texting me and said, hey, Todd, don't forget about the text messages. And you said, well, what text messages? So in the discovery for the Dominion lawsuit, there were these text messages between Kayleigh McEnany, who was then working at the White House for the president, and Sean Hannity. And it was very clear that she was working behind the scenes to thwart the president and his agenda. And so when you put all of that together, you kind of understand, okay, this is why President Trump said what he said, calling her Milquetoast McEnany. I'm not sure about that nickname, but, you know, I don't know if it'll stick. Maybe it will. Who knows? What do I care? So just a little more inside baseball there. And if this is what we know, this is what we know. So the question now is, all right, what is it that we don't know that Trump does know? Because he knows a lot. I'm just telling you, he knows a lot. So I want to go back to this story about The Chosen, which is causing a lot of controversy now. So The Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's place and Matt Walsh and all those guys, Jeremy Boring is the CEO. So they wrote a column or a story about a gay pride flag that was spotted on the set of The Chosen. And the producers of The Chosen have defended the presence of that flag. And it's that was the thrust of this article that was written and published on The Daily Wire. So now Jeremy Boring, who is the CEO, coming out and condemning his own reporters. Jeremy Boring writing on Twitter, "This is a disgusting piece, and I'm sorry we ran it." He goes on to say, "A show like The Chosen has more than 100 employees. One of them brought a pride flag to work. That sucks, but it's hardly the fault of the show. The producer's response also sucks because the producer was defending the gay pride flag, an important part of the story. But it isn't untrue. There is no, you don't have to hire gay people if you don't agree with homosexuality." I had to press click to expand the comment. "There is no, you don't have to hire gay people if you don't agree with homosexuality allowance in U.S. labor law. On the whole, this piece reeks of purity death spiral politics. Unless you are perfect, as defined by the ever and rapidly changing sensibilities of the moment, you aren't even good. That way lies madness. Hold people and organizations accountable, yes. Hold them to impossible standards and require death for their sins. I think Jesus had something to say about that." Mr. Boring goes on to say that even, I am just reading this, you can take it for what it's worth. But Jeremy Boring, the CEO of Daily Wire, says that even the Catholics and the Baptist churches hire gay people. I don't know about that. I don't think if you drive by the average Baptist church in the Deep South, you're going to see any youth pastors flying the gay pride flags or music ministers. Just want to throw that out there. Well, no, I didn't intentionally mention those two. Those are the first positions that pop to mind. I'm just saying, I may be wrong here. Anyway, what I find interesting, it's my understanding that Mr. Boring did not even have the courtesy of alerting the staff writer that he was going to destroy him publicly on social media. Didn't even have the courtesy to do that. Now, I have a little bit of experience with this, and so I think I'll weigh in here on this particular issue. I own a company, and I have a number of employees. And if, well, not a number, we have a good many. And if one of those employees was to go out, Ben Dieter is one of the employees. Ben, we're going to use you as an example here. So if Ben Dieter goes out and writes a story that I find repulsive and disgusting, or if Ben Dieter says something on the morning show that we broadcast on KWAM, the flagship station of this program, and you say something repulsive, guess what's going to happen, Ben Dieter?
You're going to go after me on Twitter.
Wrong. No, I'm going to pull you aside and say, hey, that was a horrible story. How could you write something like that? What's wrong with you? I wouldn't say that. But
and I would have said, well, Todd, it went past you. Where's my editor?
Who
approved it?
That's a fair point. My question, okay, great, you're going after the writer. Well, who assigned the story? who? That's who you need to be going after. But even then, why would you go out and publicly attack a staff writer like that? You do that behind the scenes.
First thing I went and did was look at the byline on that piece. I wanted to see who the reporter. I went to LinkedIn. I had to see where he went to college.
And he's an older guy, established veteran journalist, good guy.
Went to Wharton.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wouldn't hold that against him. It's the Ivy League. But again, I think the issue here is, dude, really? I mean, that's pretty low, right? You don't go and do that to an employee.
No.
Especially, especially if you're a conservative organization.
Go after Hershey, not your staffers.
Hershey? What do they do?
He started a chocolate line. Jeremy, the guy over at the Daily Wire. And he went after the razor company, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's their shtick, isn't it?
Yeah, they make duplicates of everything.
Is that the chocolate without the nuts?
That's right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense now. The whole thing makes sense. All right, there you go. Wow. Well, you know what? Writer for the Daily Wire, give us a call. We'd be happy to chat with you. We don't throw our people under the bus. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. A long break. We'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I need a Baptist martini.